This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Beck Dahl is partner at Nichols Family Lawyers. Good afternoon, Beck.
Hello, Warren. How are you?
We're here to talk law talk, but yeah. You're preoccupied with my dog.
I really am. He's my new best friend. I was just doing a little photo shoot with him.
Oh, well, you know what? Why don't you just finish that? We'll talk law talk.
That's right.
Now, in vitro fertilisation, commonly known as IVF, it's making headlines across Victoria right now. There's a series of devastating mix-up have happened by fertility companies, and that raises some serious legal and ethical questions about how reproductive medicine is regulated and what the laws are governing the process.
Yeah, look, there have been some devastating stories in the media about mix-ups and that sort of thing. But I think what it really does, though, is brings the topic to front and centre. And it's good, I think, to talk about some of the considerations that we have when people are conceiving children through IVF and other forms of technology.
Now, it's interesting, isn't it? I have to say, I hadn't really considered that a breakup could lead to a legal battle over embryos, but it must be incredibly complex.
Yeah, so I suppose it doesn't get spoken about a lot, but it is something that we see in our practice, because when people go through IVF, they're not just investing financially, you know, it's a huge financial investment, but there's also an emotional investment too. And people might look at these like their future family. So if their relationship breaks down, it can become really complicated. And look, we have some couples that when they separate are quite happy to agree on what happens with the embryos and you know, they sort it out. But look, for some people, it's another thing to sort of work out when they are separating. And there's different things people can do. So some people have them destroyed because they say, well, if we're not in a relationship, we don't want to use them. And there's situations where one partner takes full rights to them and the other one relinquishes them. Or sometimes they just come to an agreement that's somewhere in the middle, I suppose.
So how do these legal and, I suppose, emotional challenges around embryos play out for same-sex?
Yeah, so, couples? I mean, obviously we know that same-sex couples are a large percentage of the people that are using these sorts of processes. So obviously probably overrepresented, for want of a better word, in people who separate. But I think the thing that comes up is often these conversations and these debates are, is it about biology? Is it not about biology? And more often than not, in a same-sex couple, there's going to be one parent who isn't biologically linked to that embryo. And that can just add another layer, I think, for people when they're dealing with these situations.
If you've just joined us, we're in the middle of our monthly Law Talk segment with Beck Dahl from Nichols Family Lawyers. Today, we're talking about the legal complexities that can arise during the IVF journey. Beck, can you explain how couples can reduce complications such as legal battles, like through agreements you mentioned? In practical terms, how does that process work and who needs to be involved?
Yeah, so it really depends on when the couple were starting the process or creating embryos, perhaps what they had in place. And if they're going through an IVF clinic, it's a standard part of the clinic's documentation that they sign those agreements. So if they discuss their options and recorded their preferences, which, as I said, usually happens as a matter of course with the clinics, there will be an agreement that sets out what happens if the relationship ends. And as I say, usually that is that they're to be destroyed or one person will keep them.
So what happens if the couple signed an agreement and then one person changes their mind?
Yeah, that's a really good point, because it's important to know that even if people have signed an agreement, the consent to use or, I suppose, not use embryos has to be ongoing. So what that means is that people can change their mind before embryos are implanted. So even if there was a written agreement, someone is able to change their mind down the track and then they won't be able to be used.
So just playing devil's advocate here, if someone can later withdraw consent, why would people bother going through the process of legal advice and signing a contract in the first place?
Yeah, look, fair question. Even though either party can withdraw their consent at any time before the embryo is implanted, the written contracts are still really important, and I think that it can serve a few purposes. So the big one, and this goes for donor agreements and those mm-hmm. sorts of things too, is that it really encourages open and informed discussion between people about their intentions, their expectations, which, you know, if people are having babies in the old-fashioned way, they don't usually sit down and have those conversations.
No, be good if we did.
That's right. So that's really important. And it also just creates a record of what was agreed. And so, look, even if it's not holding that agreement, it gives people's intention at the time.
Given all the public attention lately, I'm wondering, are IVF clinics in Victoria required to include a clause in their contracts that deals with what happens to embryos if a couple separates?
So look, no, legally they're not required, but I can tell you that most clinics do include something to that effect in their paperwork because it helps provide clarity for the clinic and the couple because you can imagine otherwise a couple separate and there's issues with the clinic. If for some reason that's not covered, then my advice would be that people should get their own agreement in the same way we do a binding financial agreement about what happens to your finances if you separate.
I'm curious, what role do you play as a family lawyer in this process?
So we can play a really important role in navigating these things. So we can talk to people about their rights and responsibilities, whether they're a parent, a donor, a surrogate. We can talk about the legal implications of using donor eggs and sperm, the important laws that people need to know, and drafting and negotiating some of those contracts as well.
Bec, great to chat with you. Thank you so much for today.
Thank you for having me, Warren.
That is our Bec Dahl, partner at Nichols Family Lawyers. You can catch Bec here every month on Drive.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.